Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yevamos daf Sadi Beis. We're on Sadi Aleph and Aleph. We're at the two dots towards the top of the Amud, about 20 lines from the top of the Amud. We're starting with the words of Yosi Amr Ksivan Nechse Bala. We're in the 10th parak of the Masechta. We're going back to the original Mishnah, the first Mishnah, which we're still, the Gemara is still analyzing. And just as a quick review, the woman is hearing reports that her husband is dead, but the report is only coming from one witness. In order to establish a reality in halacha, you need two witnesses. And meanwhile, the Mishnah deals with a scenario where only one witness comes back. So under these extenuating circumstances where if she doesn't get any more reports, if she doesn't get any more information, she'll be an aguna, she'll be chained for life, she won't be able to remarry. So Beis Din finds a cause, enough justification for her to get remarried. She'll go to Beis Din. Beis Din will say, even though it's only one witness, and even though normally one witness is not believed, but nevertheless in this case that one witness will be given enough credibility where she'll go ahead and she'll be able to remarry. The Mishnah says, however, if that one witness is wrong and their husband does in fact come back, so she will be severely penalized, as the Mishnah goes on to explain in great detail all the penalties and what we've been discussing for the last five blot of Gemara. The Mishnah is all the way back on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, and we're now already on the top of Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah and the Gemara's explanation is that there's going to be severe penalties for her if in fact she is if in fact her husband comes back and the one witness is wrong, and consequently she is wrong. Exactly what is that allowance that allows her to remarry this man? It's not remarry, sorry. What exactly is the allowance for her to marry the second man? So we already discussed that at length. There are a number of ways of explaining how, generally speaking, the Chachamim are not Oker Davar Min HaTorah. They don't uproot something in the Torah. In this one particular situation, it's really the exception to the rule. So there is a... what seemingly would be an akiras haTorah, it's an uprooting of the Torah. But again, I'm not going to go through it again right now. But again, we discussed at length what exactly is the mechanism in which the Chachamim allowed her to remarry. the penalties if she's wrong, this says the Mishnah, Teitzim Mizem Mizeh, she has to leave both of her husbands, the first and the second one, and then the Mishnah goes on to list a bunch of other things which are going to be penalized as a result of the fact that she's wrong. And then what the Mishnah did is the Mishnah brought in three more opinions amongst the Tanaim. If you look back at the Mishnah, Pei Zayin Amud Beis, it's good to see the Lashon HaMishnah. So I'm going to review it right now. Then the Mishnah brings in three opinions. Number one, I'm just reading from the Mishnah, and then we're going to start with the Gemara. Rabbi Yosi Omer Ksuvasa Nechze Bala Rishon. No, she still has a ksuva from her first husband. Contrary to the Tanakhama's viewpoint, Tanakhama says she loses her ksuva. She forfeits her ksuva from both the first and the second husband. So Rabbi Yosi says, no, she still has a ksuva from her first husband. What does Rabbi Yosi sound like he's saying? Let's talk in clarity. What is he definitely saying? He's definitely saying, I disagree with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says she forfeits her ksuva from both. Rabbi Yosi says, no, she doesn't forfeit her ksuva from the first husband. Sounds like what he's saying is that her marriage with the first husband is still a marriage. That's not perfectly true. That's not perfectly correct. Meaning, what she did is she slept with another man. So, and that's that's going to sever her relationship with her original husband. But there's still enough of a relationship there. Or let's put it this way: the penalty is not so severe where she's still going to get some ksuva, and that is from her first husband. That's she just Rav Yosi. Okay, two. Rabbi Elazar Omer Harishon Zakeh B'Mitzias of Matzia Defa Afars Nedarim. Rabbi Elazar says that the first husband can still collect her mitzia, her any findings she finds Matzia Defa, her earnings, and Afars Nedarim still has the ability to be made for Nedar. So again, what is Rabbi Elazar? What is he saying? I disagree with the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says that no, that her relationship with both the first and the second husband has been so severely compromised that neither are entitled to Mitzia, Maisi Adayim, and Afaras Nedarim. And what Rabbi Elazar is saying is, no, she still retains, not she, the husband, the original husband, the first husband, still retains these rights. Okay, and again, what it sounds like he's saying is that to a certain degree, she's still married to the first husband. And finally, the third opinion in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, in other words, of these three different Tanaim, of these three contrarian viewpoints, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Biyasa, Chaletza, Sameachav, Sharishon, Pateret, Sarasa, Vein, Avlad, Mimen, Mamzer. If one of the brothers of the first husband were to do either Bir, Chalitza, If, in other words, the first husband dies, and now a brother, surviving brother, the first husband were to do either bia chalitza, bia meaning, of course, here meaning yibum, or chalitza, so that'll exempt all the co-wives from the zika. And again, it certainly sounds like the point of the Rabbi Shimon is that the marriage between her and the first husband is still so much intact that the mitzvah of yibum can be accomplished.
So I see that the first husband died childless, and then she goes with one witness, right? So why wouldn't she go for Yibum or Chalitza?
Right.
To begin with, rather than having a second husband.
Right. If the right. Correct. Good point. Very good point.
Yeah, she had to.
Very good.
Chalitza first.
Agreed.
She does it with acquiescence of the husband.
No, but Hedy's right, though. In other words, if, let's say, she has a witness to report that her husband's dead and she has no children, so then we're talking about Yibum. Before she could talk about her ability to marry anybody else, we have to be talking about Yibum. That's absolutely... He's right.
Okay, what happens? And the second marriage is already null
to begin with, no? Or not? The marriage is still intact, meaning she's Yivam Lashuk. She shouldn't marry somebody else, but if she does marry somebody else, there's a chalos kedushin. There certainly is a marriage. Okay, your point is excellent. Okay, good. Here's what the Gemara now is analyzing. In the Mishnah, we have first the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says is that her relationship between her first and second husband is so severely compromised that she takes him izemizet, nosin gem izemizet, and then the Mishnah goes on to list penalty after penalty with her and both husbands. That's the Tanakhama. And then the Mishnah brings the contrarian viewpoints of, in order, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, and Rabbi Shimon. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Amiksiv Anasan, Nechzei Ba'alam. Oh, I didn't read. I'm sorry. I know. Yeah, you're right. I didn't read those lines before. Echav shosef, echav shosef, chosim v'lo miyabim. The brothers of this and this are do chalitza na'yibum. Okay, Gemara's going to make an obvious point over here. Echav shavishon cholitz midaraisa, v'lo miyabim midaraisa. The brothers of the first husband are going to do chalitza, and that's on a Torah level because her marriage with the first man is still operating on a Torah level. In other words, she was married to the first man. He never died. She didn't know that, but. Okay, so when now he actually dies, meaning we know for sure he's dead, so obviously the chalitza is on a Torah level. And then, echav shosheni cholitz midrabanan, v'lo miyabim, v'lo midaraisa, v'lo midrabanan. And then chalitza is going to be required from the brothers of the second husband, and that in of itself is a din derabanan, because as we pointed out time and again, she's not really married to the second husband. There is an impression of marriage. It looks like marriage. That's why, like we said back in the Mishnah, she's going to need to get from the first husband. If he dies, the brothers are going to need to do chalitza, but that's only because of an impression of marriage, but the reality is they're not married. So the Gemara just simply points out, obviously the chalitza done by the brother, the second husband, is not minatar, it's only midarabanan. Okay, good. Ad kan. Now, Rabbi Yossi Omer Ksuvasa Nichse Bala, I'm Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says like this. We have three contrarian viewpoints to the Tanakhama in our Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon. Again, Rabbi Yossi Ksuva. Say it nice and succinctly. Rabbi Yossi is Ksuva. Rabbi Lazar is Mitzia, Maisi Ada, Faras Nadarim. And Rabbi Shimon says, to the first husband. And Rabbi Shimon says, Bir Chalitza of the brothers of the first husband. Okay. Question is like this. Not the question, but the analysis goes like this. I'm Rav Huna, Basrai Modela Kamai, Kamai Lo Modela Basrai. In this structure of the three opinions, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the latter positions are going to agree to the former positions, but the former positions are not going to agree to the latter positions. Meaning, sorry. Rabbi Lazar is going to agree to Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon is going to agree to Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yossi, but not in the reverse. Meaning Rabbi Yossi, according to Rav Huna, is stating the most radical position, and then each position after that is going to agree. But Rabbi Yossi is not going to agree with any later position. Rabbi Lazar is not going to agree with the later position. So, fine. So the Gemara says, Basrai Moda. No, I'm sorry, other way around. Rabbi Shimon will agree to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Lazar will agree to Rabbi Yossi, but not in the reverse order. Why not? So, Lo Modela Basrai, Rabbi Shimon Modela Rabbi Lazar, so we'll go step by step. Rabbi Shimon agrees to Rabbi Lazar. Look, Biah, which is where Rabbi Shimon is at. Rabbi Shimon allows relations to be done between the brother of the first deceased husband and her. What is that telling you? Clearly, the marriage is still intact, enough to allow the act of Biah to add the mitzvah of Yibum. We're talking about an Isser. If they're not married, so his relations with her, I'm saying obviously at one point they were. But if we don't regard the marriage now, meaning after he came back, after reports of his death were highly exaggerated, and he comes back, if we don't view the marriage now to be intact, where if he know, when he for sure dies, and the brother does Yibum, we're talking about the violation of an arayos, eishes ach, and Rabbi Shimon says that's okay. So on a monetary issue, for sure he's going to be mekel. So v'Rav Lazan lo modil el Rabbi Shimon min tiyasu masi adeh demamonuhu lo kanis. Ava bia di yisur hu kanis. And let's go the other direction. Meaning, what's Rav Lazan going to allow? Rav Lazan is going to allow him to take her earnings, take her mitziah. That's monetary law. Okay, but he's not going to allow for bia, for the brothers to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, so in other words, he won't give in to that. And they're both going to agree to Rav Yossi. Again, Rav Yossi was that first opinion. So, because think about it. What's ksuva? Ksuva means the marriage has come to an end, and here's your severance. That's ksuva. The whole purpose of ksuva is at the point of termination of the marriage. We can all agree that the relationship cannot continue. Meaning, whoever you are in the Mishnah, Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, we all agree that this marriage should not continue. She slept with another man. But according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Shimon, so they still maintain that there's some relationship between her and the first husband. According to Rabbi Shimon, the allowance of Yibam. According to Rabbi Lazar, the allowance for him to collect Mitziah and Maisei Adam. They're for sure going to agree to the first opinion of Rabbi Yossi that she can collect her ksuva. That's obvious. And the reason why it's obvious is because ksuva is all about the termination of the marriage. However, but we're not going to go in the other direction. I mean, Rav Yossi is not going to agree with the other two Tanayim. Look, you want to allow her to collect her ksuva? Great, because anyway, ksuva is there to terminate the marriage. But Maisi Adayim and Mitziah, that's only going to promote the marriage. Rav Yossi is not going to agree to that. He doesn't want the marriage to be promoted. He wants the marriage to terminate. The marriage should be terminated. So ksuva I'll allow, but not Maisi Adayim, not a Faras Nadarim. Not Mitziah. Good. So according to Rav Huna, in these three contrarian viewpoints, Rav Yossi, Rav Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon, it is Rabbi Shimon who's saying the biggest Chiddush, and he's going to agree to Rav Elazar, and he's going to agree to Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi saying the smallest Chiddush, he will not agree to Rav Elazar, and he will not agree to Rabbi Shimon. Rav Elazar is in the middle, so he'll agree to Rabbi Shimon. He'll agree to Rabbi Yossi, he won't agree to Rabbi Shimon. Okay? That is how Rav Huna understands these three contrarian viewpoints. Rabbi Shimon's making the biggest statement. Rav Yossi's making the smallest statement. Good. Rav Yochanan Amar, Kamai Modula Basrai, Basrai Lo Modula Kamai. And Rav Yochanan goes the other direction. Rav Yochanan says, I'm going to argue that, no, we're not going in descending order, we're going in ascending order. Meaning that the original positions will agree to the later position, but the later positions will not agree to the earlier position. This is going to be a little bit harder to argue, but Rav Yochanan's ready to argue this. Rav Yossi, Modula Rav Lazar. Rav Yossi is going to agree to Rav Lazar. Again, Rav Yossi is our first viewpoint, which says, she can collect her ksuva from the first husband. He'll agree to Rabbi Lazar. Why? Ksuva dimididei dida lo kanis. Because think about it. As we pointed out already a number of times, who is really getting the most penalized in all this? The woman. Okay? And the reason why, as the Gemara explained, as we said already a number of times, Rashi said it back in the Mishnah, because the responsibility of determining whether her husband is dead is not totally, but to a large extent, put on her shoulders. Isha daiko mitzvah. And so therefore, if she's wrong, so like we discussed time and again, so that risk, and that with that high risk comes then a potential for significant loss. She's the one who's most penalized. What does Rav Yossi say? She gets her ksuva. So the Gemara now, Rav Yochanan's arguing, so what Rav Yochanan essentially is saying is, the woman who is most penalized in all this, still is able to get her ksuva from her husband. He's going to agree with Rabbi Lazar. What did Rabbi Lazar say? he can collect her maisi adayim and her faras nedarim. Oh, okay. Meaning that if we see that she's not going to be penalized, he for sure is not going to be penalized. Right, that's the argument that Rav Yochanan is arguing. So I'll read that again. So Rav Yosef, the letter of Allah's Ksuva, demididali didag lo kanez v'kolshekain mitziyasa v'masiyadeh demididali diday, meaning if she's ready to collect her Ksuva and she's the one who is most penalized in all this, for sure he can collect her his maisiyah diamond is mitziyah and hafaras nadar. Rav Elazar lamodulay, and then obviously if we go in the other direction, so we cannot make it. Now just follow through on this argument. Mitziyas maasiyah dehu demididida lidida lo kanis avaksuva demididay lidida kanis. Good. Just all we're doing now is going in the reverse. Meaning, from Rav Elazar's standpoint, Rav Elazar is not going to agree to Rav Yosi. Rav Elazar says, look, you want to still give him his Maisiyah diamond, his Mitziyah, and his ability to be made for Nadarim, that's great. I mean, don't penalize him, but for her to receive her Ksuva, no. That burden of responsibility of determining whether her husband is dead, that was on her. So in other words, she's not going to collect her Ksuva because she gets penalized for being wrong on this matter. V'tavai modil in the Rabbi Shimon. And now here comes an interesting one. And they're both going to agree to Rabbi Shimon. Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon's making the easiest statement of them all. I know. which is, Yibum. That's the easiest statement? Yeah. Uma hani demechayim lo kansa. Biyad ala achem yisa lo kol shekein. Look, the... Rav Elazar and Rav Yosi are ready to ease the penalties while she's alive. So Rabbi Shimon says, I'm ready to ease the penalties after she's dead. That's an easier position to take. Meaning while she's alive, I certainly understand penalties. But after she's dead, which is, right, I'm sorry, not after she's dead. Okay, good, right. After he's dead, right, she's not dead, otherwise there's no mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, I got it. But after he's dead, so in other words, for sure I'm ready to ease the penalties. So, lokanti biya delachem isa lokol shekein. Okay, Rabbi Shimon lamodelahu biu delachemisa lo kanis avahani demechaim kanis. And now going in the other direction, look, Rabbi Shimon says, here's my take. I'm going to allow the mitzvah of Yibum because the mitzvah of Yibum, look, meikar din, they were married. He's dead already. Okay, so I think now the chachamim can relax the penalties, and we could do the mitzvah of Yibum. But while he's alive, no. Yes. Meaning, she's not going to collect her ksuva, he's not going to collect her maisiyah adayim, no. While he's alive, the penalties of the chachamim are enforced. So that's how Rav Yochanan's going to argue that Rabbi Shimon is going to take a position that he doesn't necessarily have to agree to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef.
But isn't inherent in the mitzvah of Yibum that there's the ketubah intact on the first argument?
Yeah, right. In other words, in this case, there was a penalty against the ksuva. It's an excellent question. That's an excellent question. Meaning, normally we say the ksuva gets the ksuva is maintained from the first husband, but the first husband,
right,
who she has forfeited her ksuva to.
Right.
Very good. I'm not sure. I don't know how to respond right now, but let's go. Okay. So in our Mishnah, once again, let's just lay it out. We had now. I guess we can call it four opinions, but they're really, it's the Tanakhama's viewpoint and three contrarian viewpoints, but they're not that contrarian. The Tanakhama's viewpoint is that she remarried based on the testimony of one witness. She was wrong. So penalties to, from her perspective, from the first husband and from the second husband. And the only thing, and I say contrarian, that Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Shimon are going to be arguing with is that the penalties to the first husband are not going to be as severe. According in a row, Rabbi Yossi allows her to collect her ksuva from the first husband. Rabbi Elazar allows the first husband to collect her maisiyah diamond and mitziyah and hafaras nedarim. And Rabbi Shimon allows the mitzvah of Yibum to be performed with the brothers of the first husband if, in fact, he actually dies. Okay. But other than that, though, again, we're all in agreement that she shouldn't have married the second man, and now that her first husband comes back, the marriages between both husbands should in fact be terminated.
No, the
Tanakhama's viewpoint is the accepted viewpoint. Where all these penalties are enforced to both husbands. Nisei shelo birushas. Now, If you look back at the Mishnah again, I'm going to encourage you to look back at the Mishnah. If you look back at the Mishnah then goes on. The Mishnah quoted Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint that Biar Chalitza from one of the brothers is going to exempt the co-wives and the child is not a mamzer. And then Rabbi Shimon writes, and the Gemara understands that the narrative of the Mishnah is still Rabbi Shimon. The imni say shalab rishos. Now if she get married without shalab rishos, without permission. And that means that we've said this a number of times, but we'll say it again. It means that there were two witnesses. Two witnesses came and said that her husband's dead. So Mutaris Lach Solom. So now, when her husband comes back, she can go back to her first husband. And as we explained, Rashi back in the Mishnah said, the reason why is very simple. Because if two witnesses report that her husband's dead, from her standpoint, from her viewpoint, her husband's dead. Two witnesses. What more in halacha do you need? Two witnesses establish the fact that her husband's dead. And so therefore, when she goes and she's with another man, the marriage obviously now in retrospect is not a marriage, but more than that, it's what's called an anus. She's anus api hadibor. Right? Little Haggadah play, a word play. You don't have to like it. But in other words, the Adam came back and the Adam reported the husband said, what else was she supposed to do? So therefore, all those relations she had with her second husband is what falls under the category of what's called anus, and therefore she can go back to her first husband when her first husband returns. Good? Rav Huna, Rav says that's the halacha. Okay? So Amalei Rav Nachman Ganava Ganuvei Lamalach. So Rav Nachman says to Rav, you're a thief. Strong language. You're a thief. Isvir Lach Rabbi Shimon Eim Lach Rabbi Shimon. You know, Rav Huna Marav, that's not your position. In other words, don't take credit for it. That's Rabbi Shimon's position back in the Mishnah. Give credit where credit's due. It's Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara Megillah tells us that if you say something b'shem Omra, if you say something in the original name, maybe it's a gula, you're going to bring the redemption. Come on, say it in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Dishmaitach Rabbi Shimon Kazla. V'chite mi'amin alach Rabbi Shimon mashma afila b'kamaisa. And oh, maybe you're afraid that if I just gave credit to Rabbi Shimon, I might have thought, like what Hedy suggested a moment ago, well, maybe the halachas of Rabbi Shimon on Rabbi Shimon's first point, that the brothers of the first husband can do the mitzvah of Yibum. And we don't want to give anyone that impression. So the Gemara says, okay, if that's what you're worried about, you could just say it clearly. Ema halachik Rabbi Shimon ba'achrona. So just simply say that in our Mishnah, I know Rabbi Shimon makes two points in our Mishnah. We side with Rabbi Shimon on the second point in which he says. Kasha, the Gemara says, okay, that's difficult. We don't know why Rav Huna Marav didn't give proper attribution to Rabbi Shimon. That's a kasha. The Gemara goes on. I'm Rav Sheshes. I'm in the Kinaim v'shachiv Rav Amar lahashmaita. Rav Sheshes thinks that I think Rav was taking a little bit of a nap when he said over this halacha. Okay, I know that sounds familiar because the Gemara says this time and again. Rav Sheshes makes comments like this about Rav on various statements that he can't imagine that Rav said. I know it sounds very sharp. It is very sharp.
This is a student.
Correct? In other words, it's an expression, it's an idiom. He just can't imagine that Rav said this. Halacha mechlal depligi. So the Gemara says, now, because what are you saying? It sounds like you're making a radical statement. It's not a radical statement. Two witnesses come back and tell you your husband's dead, and she remarries based on those two witnesses, and then her husband comes back, meaning what else? What's the alternative? You have to say, Rav, the halacha follows like Rabbi Shimon on this issue. Okay, meaning you don't have to take a major stand on this issue. Who's going to argue with this position? My havalele me'ebed, me'anis anasa. What else was she supposed to do? She's an anusa. Okay, my havalele me'ebed. If you're going to highlight or underline a line of today's Gemara, that's the line to underline. I know it's still yesterday's daf, but that's the line to underline. Meaning, what else was she supposed to do? Okay, can I give away some of the Gemara coming up? Ahead, it's going to be fascinating. Where the Gemara later on is going to tell us that under these circumstances, we're going to see later on the halacha is that A, there are those who argue on this Mishnah, on this position of Rabbi Shimon, and B, the halacha is going to be she should have done more research. Stay tuned.
Even with two witnesses.
So what's the difference? Stay tuned. We're going to come back to that. Okay, I just foreshadowing a little Gemara coming up ahead. Va'od Tanya. And furthermore, again, I gave away a little bit of the Gemara coming up ahead, but right now, the Gemara is still in the position of being incredulous. If two witnesses come back and tell that her husband's dead, what'd you expect her to do?
And she were taking two witnesses and bringing to Bezin, and Bezin would have said, okay, we got two witnesses.
Right. Meaning the two witnesses are going to testify. They're not testifying to her. I mean, they're telling her, but they're testifying in front of Bezin. But Bezin's going to do what Bezin would normally do if the two witnesses.
So it's not
Schlager
Shus, it is.
No, again, right? I don't mind going over this. It takes time to like really digest and process. When it says Shalobar Shus, it means we don't need a special act of Beis Din. It means that we're going through normal jurisprudence of Beis Din. Two witnesses come to Beis Din. Okay, good. Beis Din doesn't do. It's not an act of Congress. It's not a special. It's not a special act of Beis Din. When one witness comes. Now you desperately need Beis Din. Because what's one witness? Nothing. That's where you need Rishus Beis Din. It's not the one witness that's allowing her to marry. Again, I'm saying it over in the simplest way imaginable. It's now it's that one witness, and now I need a special act of Beis Din. That's what the Mishnah means when the Mishnah says Rishus Beis Din. Furthermore, the Gemara says, look at the Brice of Otan, you call it Raisha Batar and Sirchus Amen again. Anytime you have a Raisha being violated, a man has relations with a sister, God forbid. Okay, is there a get necessary? Right, we're all gonna look at that suggestion and say, of course not. That's not a marriage. Exactly the point of the Braisa. Call Araisha Batarin Tsurchus and get Chutz Meishas Ishinisins Abiye Beis Din. There is one exception where a woman slept with another man while she was married, and she'll need a get. And that one exception is our very case, our Mishnah. Where one witness reported that her husband's dead, and then she was with another man, and then her husband comes back. What was those active relations with the second man? It was Eishes Ish. That's Arias. And yet, she's going to need a get from that second man, even though that was adultery. Those were acts of adultery. That's the only exception to the rule. But what's clear from that Braisa? Api Beisin Udabai Gita, Api Adim. Law by Igitta. That's if I needed Beis Din because there was only one witness. But if there were two witnesses, so then she would need a get. So money, Elamer, Rabbi Shimon. Now, who is the author of that Braisa? In other words, what the Gemara now is ready to argue is as follows. When two witnesses come and report her husband is dead, like, who's going to take any position other than she's an anus? Who's going to say that? Here's a braisa that describes where two witnesses came. Well, the braisa is actually talking about one witness. And by inference, we're saying that if two witnesses were to come and to report that her husband's dead, and she's with another man, that's an onus she's not going to need to get from that another husband. And who do you think the author of that braisa is? Money. Elam Rabbi Shimon not be based in me by get. Well, you think it's Rabbi Shimon? If it's done through Beis Din, there's no get required. V'atayin, the Gemara says, look at the following braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer, asu Beis Din ba'arasin kizadun ish b'isha. Al pi edim kishigagas ish b'isha. The braisa says the following. When Beis Din offers a ruling that this woman can remarry, and again, Beis Din making a ruling means that there was only one witness who testified that her husband died. And so now I need Beis Din. So you know what that is? That's kizadon ish be'isha. It's like, make sure to read that chaf. It's like a woman deliberately had an adulterous affair with this man. Meaning, what does that mean? Again, it doesn't mean that she committed adultery. It means that the halacha is going to treat it the same way. Does she need to get from a man that she had adultery with?
No.
And what if it's Alpi Adim? What if it's done through witnesses? Meaning two witnesses came and testified that her husband's dead. And then she was with another man. Alpi Adim? Ki shigigas ish b'isha. It's like a woman committed adultery b'shogeg. Woman committing adultery b'shogeg. Well, first of all, the word adultery is over there just a little bit overstated. It's not adultery.
The marriage of her marriage itself.
But, do you need a get if a woman inadvertently slept with another man other than her husband? The answer is going to be, once again, no. And in both circumstances, no. The Gemara says in both cases, it's not like a get. So Elalav Rabbanani. So the Gemara says, so the author of the Braisa, who says that if one witness, because if two witnesses told her that her husband's dead and she slept with another man, she doesn't need a get. If one witness came back and said her husband's dead and she was with another man, she's going to require a get. So who is it? That must be the Chachamim. So what do you see? You see that when two witnesses come and report that her husband's dead, lace man de polig. Literally, no one argues on the fact that when she's with another man, at that point in time, she's an anus. Even Rabbi Shimon, who says that you never need a get in both circumstances, will agree to the Chachamim that if two witnesses come back, I'm sorry, if two witnesses report that he's dead, you simply don't need a get. So what do we see over here? That what Rav said, the Gemara is just now hammering the question off. Rav said the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Two witnesses come and said her husband's dead, and then the husband comes back, she can go back to her original husband. Who's going to argue with that? And now what the Gemara is going to do from this point going forward is construct an argument. No, maybe you can argue. The Gemara says, Gemara over here will go through four different ways to explain the Braisa. La'olam, we are four lines from the bottom of Tzadi Aleph Amad Aleph. La'olam Rabbi Shimoni. Maybe the author of that Braisa that we just quoted is really... No, I'm sorry, not the Braisa we just quoted. Maybe the author of the previous Braisa is Rabbi Shimon, and here's what you'll say. Utritzachi. Rabbi Shimon Omer Asa Basin Barasan Ki Kavanas Ish B'Isha U'Bayiget Al pi edim shel kishelo bechavanis ish beisha velo bayiget. First of all, it could very well be that here's what Rabbi Shimon meant: that if we needed beis din, meaning it was only one witness and I needed beis din, so you know what that second marriage is viewed as? Kavanas ish beisha. It's a little bit different than how we said the brisa earlier. We said kizadon ish beisha. Here it's kavanas ish beisha. Meaning what? Meaning it's like a marriage, and therefore you need a get. But if it's Edim, so it's Kishalob Kavanas Ish V'Isha V'lo Bayiget, then you don't need a get. Why? Because Edim came and said their husband's dead. Okay, what else are we supposed to do? So in other words, two witnesses came and reported their husband's dead. So maybe the Braisa, according to Rabbi Shimon, is telling us that in such a scenario you don't need a get. But maybe that's exclusively Rabbi Shimon's viewpoint. And the Chachamim, we're going to disagree. Rav Ashi Amar Leinyan Isura Ketan V'Achi Kabba. Rav Ashi is going to give another pshat in the Braisa. Asu Beisim Barasin Kizadon Ish B'Isha U'Mitzara Al Ba'ala. Maybe this is what the Braisa means. The Braisa is telling us that, not like what we just suggested, but go back to the original Braisa, that when Beisim allows to get married, meaning well, there's only one witness, so it is like a woman intentionally violated adultery, and she's forbidden to her husband. Al pi edim, but if it's done through witnesses, kishugas ish beisha v'lo mitzra abala, she does not become prohibited to her husband. But in terms of a guest, she's going to need a guest. And again, the whole point is that Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, and maybe the Chachamim argue. Ravina Amar le'inyan karban ketan. Ravina again is going to look at the same Braisa, top of Sadi Alpha Midbeis, and Ravina is going to say maybe the Braisa was only talking in terms of a karban. Also based in behora asan kizadon ish beisha v'lo masi karban. Based in ruled. And it's, again, like tantamount to adultery that was done deliberately, meaning, in both cases, you don't need to bring a carbon. I'll be Aiden, but if she has relations with the second man, because witnesses came, kishigas ish b'isha umasi carbon, under those circumstances, she needs to bring a carbon. Maybe that's what Rabbi Shimon meant in the Braisa, having nothing to do with the requirement of get. But again, that Braisa is going like Rabbi Shimon, not like the Chachamim. V'bayseima kamaisa rabbanani. Or maybe we could say that the first Braisa is going like the Chachamim, mitzritzachi, and this is what the Braisa means. Chutz me'eshes ish, ushenises api beizdin. Maybe the original Braisa says, when does she need a get? In all areas of her eye, she doesn't need a get. But here's where she does need a get. If one witness comes back, or if two witnesses come and tell her that her husband is dead, in both cases she's going to need a get. And obviously that's going to require a little bit of editing. If you look back at the Brisa doesn't say exactly that. So the Gemara is adding a Vav, meaning Chutz Me'eshes Ish, comma, Ush and Nisitz Api Beis Din. Okay. Fine. What the Gemara now is arguing is as following. Let's just pause for a moment. Let's summarize. Rav came up with a statement that said that if a woman's remarried based on the testimony of two witnesses, so and her husband comes back, so what did Rav say? The halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. She can just go back to her first husband. All is good. The fact that she had relations with the second man, that's anus. Good. She certainly doesn't need a get from the second man. Okay, that's what Rabbi Shimon says, and Rav says that's the halacha. What the Gemara now is in the middle of arguing is, no. Rav is making a very big stand. Our Mishnah is only espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, and the Chachamim, in fact, are arguing. And the Chachamim are arguing that in cases of both one witness and two witnesses coming and reporting that her husband's dead, and she going to another man, and her husband comes back, in both cases, she's going to require a get from that second husband, and her marriage with the first husband is going to be severed.
What about the penalties?
And now with one witness, I know all the penalties are enforced. With two witnesses, I'm less sure. That's Hedy, it's a good question. I'm not sure what the answer is. Now, to the question which we're going to ask in just a moment, which should be everybody's question, how can we even make this argument? What else was she supposed to do? One witness coming, so we understand we're in murky area. And she's going to take a risk. But if two witnesses come back, what else was she supposed to do? That's the question which should be riding on everybody's mind. Why the Gemara now is going to make this argument and say that even if two witnesses are reporting, she's still going to need to get a get from her second husband and a get from the first husband. How can we make that argument? So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to try to explain.
Can she get a chalitza?
But we're not, we're talking about where right now both husbands are alive. The first husband came back. Mezavula miyamrina mayhavale lameved vatanan. So the Gemara says, look, this argument of mayhavale lameved, like what is she supposed to do? So the Gemara says, I don't know how compelling an argument it is. We learned in the following Mishnah. We're going to quote 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, no, five. Sorry. We're going to quote five Mishnayos coming up ahead. Mishnayos and Gittin, where something happened, something went wrong with the get, and she remarries based on this get, and she's going to be penalized. And all those penalties are going to be just like what our Mishnah described. She's going to need a get from both the first and the second husband. And everything that we just mentioned in our Mishnah, all because she remarried based on a faulty get. And the question that the Gemara is going to keep repeating again and again is, she got a get, what else was she supposed to do? And again, what the Gemara is going to answer is, she should have been more careful. And then what the Gemara is going to essentially say is, same thing true over here. Even when two witnesses come back, she should have been more careful. Now again, I know it's hard. This is hard to argue, but the Gemara is going to argue. So let's see the Gemara inside. Ve'atanan. Let's say the get was written, dated, based on the Roman Empire. The Gemara, when referring to the Roman Empire, long gone, so we could say it right now. Okay, it's pretty clear from this Mishnah. They didn't like the Roman Empire. Okay, it's called Machusheno Hogenis. It's not an appropriate kingdom. Rashi over here points out that it's a Gemara. The Gemara is in. The Gemara over there says that Rome is considered inappropriate because there's nothing original about Rome. Their language is not an original language. The writing, the script is not an original script. Okay, anyway, they're referring to the Romans as a counterfeit, like a copycat government. Anyway, Kazal Shemach Sheno Organas, the Shemach is Madai, the Shemach is Yavan, or it was written based on the kingdom of Mede, the Greek kingdom, Labinyan based Chorban Abayis, or it was written dating back to the Chorban Abayis. All these are not good points of reference for dating. Hayah b'mizrach v'kasa b'marav, b'marav v'kasa b'mizrach. It was in the east, and the get was written as if it was in the west. If it was in the west, then it was written as if it was in the east. And what exactly that means, and see Tosos over here, lengthy Tosos, discussing exactly what the mistake was about. The husband, the wife, the witnesses, see Tosos for a discussion. But anyway, right, for our purposes, let's just say it's simple. The get was dated incorrectly or placed incorrectly.
They're not recognizing these kingdoms as a...
Correct.
But in Masachat Rosh Hashanah, you were talking about the date for a king, and you said that for a secular king, you could actually have a date, no?
Correct. Just right now, just stay with me. It just wasn't dated correctly. So Tatum is Mizeh. This is not a good get. She remarries based on this get, which is not good. So she needs a divorce from both. And the Mishnah just says, very shorthand, know your Mishnah in the 10th paragraph of Yevamos, which we're learning together right now. And everything mentioned in the Mishnah over there, she's going to have to suffer all those penalties. The Gemara says, no, I'm not following. Gemara says, well, what did you expect her to do? She has a get in her hand. She's remarrying based on this get. What was supposed to happen? What else was she supposed to do? Can't we call her an anus? The Gemara says, no. Ibai lalik or legitta? No. She has to have the get written. In other words, she needs to go over the get. And, as Rashi points out over here, not just herself in front of a chacham, meaning she needs someone to proofread the get, make sure that it was okay. That's what she should have done. Amar Rav Shini bar Ashi Tashma, second Mishnah in Gittin. Hakonis Yivim Tavachat Sarasa Benisus Venimsus Islandis. Let's say someone marries his Yivama. And the co-wife goes and the co-wife marries. And it turns out that the woman who did the mitzvah of Yibam, turns out she was an Islandis. Oh no, that's terrible. What does that mean? There was no Zika between this woman and her brother-in-law. That means the Zika is still there. So what happens to the co-wife? This co-wife now who married another man, she had no right to marry another man. She still had a Zika, and we now know. The Gemara asked a very simple question, my name am I have a little maven? Now again, call her an onus. What else was she supposed to do? Answers the Gemara, by Leila Amtune. The Gemara, she should have waited to find out that she was an islandess. Okay, now again, these are difficult arguments the Gemara is making, but the Gemara is making them. In that, she needs to know full well that she's in fact free to marry. I'm Rabbi Tashma. Here comes the third Mishnah. All the Arais will excuse their Tzaros. Right? That's the first Mishnah we learned together here in Gittin. But let's say that the Erva, the one wife who is an Erva to her brother-in-law, meaning, let's say, a simple example, like we've said time and again, let's say the brother married a niece. And then the brother dies. And now, basically, he's looking at a bunch of wives, including his own daughter. The daughter's going to excuse all the other wives, Tara Serva. But now it turns out that the daughter was an islandess. All these other women now, it turns out that they have a Zika to get married to their surviving brother. If they remarried, what's the halacha? Teitze mizeh mizeh. And again, my name am I have el amavet. Again, the Gemara wonders, well, what else were these women supposed to do? Ibai lelamtune, they should have waited. I'm Rava Tashma. Here comes another Mishnah. This is now our fourth Mishnah. Sorry, third. Kazat sofer get leish v'shover leish v'tavanas and get leish v'shover leish. Let's say the sofer writes a get for the woman, a receive for the man, and then as they are at the closing. I know it's not exactly a closing, but it kind of is. In other words, at the get proceedings, so Yotza, so Vanasna Lazer, I'm sorry, Vanasna Zelazer, Vazelazer. And in the pressure and in the stress and in the turmoil, so what happened was by accident, the sofer handed the woman the receipt. The sofer handed the man the get. Okay, everything was folded, and again, a lot of irresponsibility that took place over there. Fingers can be pointed, but you could do all the finger pointing you want. They're still married. And then a later point in time it's discovered as a man goes through his documents and finds that he's not holding the receipt in his hand, but he's actually holding the get. The woman never actually was handed the get. So the Gemara there says, so she remarries based on that. So, she has to get a divorce from both. And you, at this point in time, you should be familiar with what the Gemara is going to ask and answer. The Gemara says, well, what else were you supposed to do? There we can totally hear that's a lot of your responsibility. At the get proceeding, the document should be opened up, the document should be read, knowing full well that what she was handed was a get, not a receipt. Amar Avashi Tashma, Shinashmo Shma, Ishem Ira Vishem Ira, Tetsu Mizem Zev, Chodrachim Eluba. In the get, her name was written incorrectly. The name of her city was written incorrectly. His name, his city, so, and she remarries based on that get. It's not a good get. The Amai name of my Havelela Mavidi by Lele Kurla Gita. So once again, there the Gemara says he's at fault because he should have written the get. Amar Avina Tashma, Kansab Get Kareach, she gets married with a bald get. A bald get. Okay, if you don't know what the Gemara here is referring to, okay, it's the get over here is missing a signature. Right now, if you'll forgive me, I'm going to take the fast pass through this Mishnah. It's missing a signature. Okay, so it's not a good get. So the Gemara says, "Yibai lele kurla gita." And again, even though she remarried based on that get, and it's not a good get, and what should she have done? And again, the Gemara's answer is, have somebody check over the get to make sure that it was good. She didn't do that, therefore she has to suffer these penalties. Okay. That's a lot. All these Mishnahs and all the Gemara's responses to these Mishnahs show us that if there's any type of irresponsibility on her part, where she did not do her due diligence, and she remarries based on something that she should have checked and did not check, so therefore she's going to suffer the penalty of having to leave her new husband, her old husband, and all the penalties that were imposed in our Mishnah. And now we come back full circle, and now we finally get back to the beginning of today's daf, and that is, now let's go back to two witnesses. One witness we understand. One witness, there is a tremendous amount of burden responsibility placed on her, where she has to know full well that her husband's dead. There's only one witness reporting that her husband's dead. If her husband walks back, she has to leave both of those husbands. But what if it's two witnesses? Two witnesses come back. So what Rav said in the beginning of this entire discussion is, anus. What the Gemara is now about to argue is, maybe not. Rav Papa Savala Ma'avid Uvda Ben Mai Havalela Ma'avid. Rav Papa at one point in time thought, okay, I'm ready to paskin the halacha. Here we go. A woman's husband went away, didn't come back. Two witnesses reported that he was dead. She remarried based on the testimony of those two witnesses. Her husband comes back. Rav Papa says, here we are. I'm ready now to paskin like Rav. Because my Havalela Ma'avid, if there is something that she should have done, fine. We're going to penalize. But in this case, what else should she have done? And basically what Rav Papa is saying is, I'm ready to side like Rav. That the halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon. Well, what else was she supposed to do? So Amar le Rav Huna bereid Rav Yehoshua li Rav Papa. So Rav Huna, son of Rav Yehoshua, says to Rav Papa, v'atanya klahani mastisa. Gemara, so he says, wait a second. What about the five Mishnayos that we just quoted? Where there the Chachamim ready to penalize. Amar leva lav shaninu. So Rav Papa says back in response, okay, but in these five Mishnayos, we assigned culpability to her because she should have been more careful. So Amar leva lav shaninu. I'm sorry. V'lav shaninu. Amar le. And Rav Huna says back to Rav Papa. Bad point to lose my spot. Okay, we answered up the Mishnayos. Good. You're in the Beis Medrash. You're answering up Mishnayos. You're giving arguments. That's wonderful. But we're not talking about learning in the Beis Medrash. We're talking about Lama'aseh. We're talking about now, okay, push comes to shove. What's the halacha? And now just because you have an answer from that Mishnah and Gittin, you're ready to paskin a halacha based on the fact that you have an answer? Gemara says. Now, the next word in the Gemara, it's there, it's not there. The point is going to be basically the same. Upasak. Rashi, nimna velo avad uvda. He didn't allow her to go back to her original husband. Even with two witnesses, he did not allow her to go back to her original husband. What essentially the Gemara is saying is that the beginning of this discussion, where Rav says, Halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon, and that when two witnesses report that her husband's dead and her husband comes back, she's allowed to go back to her first husband, the Gemara says, not that clear. With one witness, we know she's not allowed to go back to her first husband, because again, She should have been more careful. She needed to be more careful. And therefore, culpability is assigned to her for not being more careful. But if two witnesses, so you could have made the argument that my havel and ma'aved, Rabbi Shimon makes that argument, Rav Paslin's like Rav Shimon, but then the Gemara at the conclusion of this discussion says, quoting Rav Papa wanted to paskin like Rav, but the Gemara says, but Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua says to him, no, I wouldn't do it.
Huh? Right.
Understood. You could look it up. The Rambam, he cites where to find the Rambam, but you could look it up. The Rambam says even with two witnesses come back and her husband returns. So it's again, this is unbelievably unfortunate. You know, I can't overstate enough how unfortunate it is, but the Gemara says, but still, she needed to be more careful in such a situation, and
what
she.
They're suggesting to be careful means.
Again, we could discuss all we want.
Guidance for it. What's wrong?
Right. Understood. It's a very difficult situation.
She's worse than the one because she also has to bring a head.
Well, that actually, that
the first one, with one witness, she doesn't bring it.
Well, we're going to that discussion is going to be had. Okay, well, we're going to pause over here. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow with the words Amar Rav Ashi. Okay, that's.